We're going to continue our study out of the book of Luke that we began last week. Preparation for evangelism is the unit that we're in. And I tried to draw that parallel to Mary, the mother to be of Jesus, as a disciple. Prelude to discipleship. And we're going to continue in that vein out of Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56 today. Mary's praise to God is the title that the authors have given us this morning, and under the unit of a prelude to discipleship. And we tried to give that connection between how Mary is in fact one of the first disciples. We don't put her in that group of 12, but she was discipling before the other 12, if we even thought about following Christ. She was a follower of Christ. And on last week, she received some magnificent news about her calling. And we saw at the conclusion of last week's lesson how she responded to that call. She says, "I'm the one. I'm the handmaiden. I'm the servant. I'm just who you're looking for. I understand everything." And we saw the doctrinal class that Gabriel, the messenger, brought Mary last week. And we looked at all the basic doctrine themes that Gabriel taught her in that very small amount of time. He taught her some theology and some bibliology and some hermeteology and some Christology and some sanctification and, you know, soteriology. Oh, he was ready because he's preparing a disciple. And I'm telling you, I was there. I was there on it, but I haven't convinced everybody, so we get another shot at it today. All right. In verses 39 and 40, we see what Mary did immediately after, sometime after this interlude with the angel, this engagement with the angel. We see what action she took. And you know, when I was growing up and we had to do this particular portion of scripture, you know, Gussie Ledbetter and Jesse McCoy and Lana Culbreth and all of them, you know, they were very staunch Methodists who every year this particular scripture, you had to talk about the Magnificat, you know, and it's greatest hymn ever produced, ever made. It's a great, great song of praise. And but you know, as we matured, you know, you teach a couple of rascals a few verses of scripture, and you know, they get wise and they start doing their own thing, you know. So they some of them, they couldn't remember Magnificat, so they simply said the and hymn. See the silence? They're like, "These dummies, they don't know what they're talking about." Well, watch this. Verse 1, and verse 40, and verse 41, and verse 42, and verse 43, and. Y'all got it. See, making a memory there. That's all that is. Okay, let's read verse 39 and 40 as we look at and what we're going to try to show you that in preparation for evangelism or discipleship, you know, there's, and I often think about her now even more so, Liz Kendall, and this staunch thing about prayer and praise before each evangelism class. And but see, once you know who God is, and really know and have that relationship with him, it always issues forth into prayer and praise. It always. You can never come into the presence of God and not want to praise him, not want to lift him up, exalt him. So what we're going to have this morning is a little session in the development of the pray and praise portion of discipleship and making that preparation for discipleship. Verse 39 and 40. Let's see what happens. Just like a good disciple who has got some information, she now goes and on a little trip to verify that information and to share, because that's what discipleship is all about. It's about building community. I'm sorry, Deacon Josh, you don't have to shout back there. See, because discipleship, that, I mean, at its core, it's a relational thing. It's about building a relationship. And when people have the same common core of experience, they want to get there and share that, because that gives them the fuel now to go out. That gives them, that there's a preparatory phase for going out, getting fueled up, sharing, supporting one another. And God will always lead you to other folk who will encourage and support you. So we have this little small group here, two ladies and two unborn babies. That's a classical small group. But she is now in the presence of a senior relative. And don't get caught up about, you know, try to go through the genealogy and all that about whether they were cousins or not like that. I think a more accurate translation is probably a relative. She was a relative. You know, y'all got all them cousins. She had some too. So, but King James says she went to the cousin's house, and she went to the house of Zechariah. Now y'all got to understand something. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. Now, I realize Zacharias is somewhat incapacitated right now in that he is mute. He is without voice. His tongue is seized. But that's all that's seized, is his tongue. Under the law, by her stepping in this house and about to share what she's about to share, she could die. The priest could have her stoned. Wait a minute, this is blasphemy. You, girl, what are you talking about? You did what? The angel told you what? But her first encounter is with Elizabeth. And she encounters Elizabeth in Zechariah's house because the angel, if you recall, last week told her that your relative, who was barren and old. In other words, those are two great obstacles. Those are really two great obstacles to pregnancy. But she has done it. And because of that discussion with the angel, Mary is now going, is encouraged that the miracle that she has to tell or share is validated because God has already done something in Elizabeth's house. And see, that's encouragement for all of us right now. If God is doing something in Harmon's house, he sure enough can do something in your house. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I mean... But the issue is this thing about testimonies. Oh, I'll get it all. Testimonies. See the issue, you should encourage testimonies. You should encourage folk to share their story with you. But just like they have a story, you have a story too. Just like that, they went through a test, and now they have a testimony. you are going or have gone through a test, and you can share your testimony. And how good it is for brethren to dwell together when they have similar testimonies. That's why they can dwell together in harmony, because they have the same life experiences. So she enters the house. There's another aunt. And it came what? That when Elizabeth
heard the salutation
of Mary, the baby in her womb, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that not what Gabriel told her was going to happen? See, you have to study to show yourself approved or to recognize what's going on. Mary wasn't shocked when what happened, because Gabriel has already told her. But that goes both ways. I want y'all to watch. Watch this. When she heard the salutation, the babe that she was carrying, that is Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. When John the Baptist and Jesus meet in the womb, there's a Holy Ghost happening. Just like Gabriel said. It said, though, first of all, the baby leaped with joy. The baby leaped with joy when the mother heard. Folk, the stuff that you are hearing today can make somebody else leap. Oh, y'all didn't get that connection. It didn't say John the Baptist heard it. It said that when Elizabeth heard it, that the baby got happy at the presence of the Lord. But look what else happened. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm gonna tell you, your mind, when you work with this scripture here, it can take you a whole bunch of places. You wonder in Luke's dissertation on Elizabeth why he didn't talk more about John the Baptist then. Other than the fact that she was barren and she's now pregnant with John the Baptist, it may lead some to believe that maybe John ain't alive in the womb. Oh, y'all don't hear me. But when he comes into the power of the Holy Ghost, he has a resurrection moment, and he leaped. that's in future times. That was one of my things. The word says that he just leaped at the very presence when his mother heard the message. He leaped. And he leaped with joy, but the mother was filled with the Holy Ghost. The mother now has been given the power that Jesus declared that all disciples will have after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Y'all don't believe me this morning. Y'all looking in disbelief. I can prove that the Holy Ghost had to come on to Elizabeth just by the scriptures that are printed here. Here we go. Next verse. What happened? Stop. What just happened previously in the previous clause? It says she was what?
Filled
with the Holy Ghost. And then what?
She
spoke. See, you can't really tell the message until you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to be blood bought. Filled with the Holy Ghost, because Jesus declared, all my disciples will have power to witness, to speak, to tell after the Holy Ghost has come upon them. Oh, I'm still going to deal with discipleship. I know it's Christmas time. However, it says, and she spake out with a what?
Loud voice.
And said what?
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb.
She starts prophesying. She starts prophesying. Now, let me tell you, she's not foretelling. She's forthtelling. That's gospel. That's what we do in the gospel. Even in eschatology, we are simply forthtelling. We are telling that which God has already revealed to us. And so now, because the Holy Ghost has come upon Elizabeth, she now begins to forthtell, and she says, blessed are thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So Elizabeth, not only a disciple here, she's becoming a prophet because the Holy Ghost has come upon her. She begins to speak. And whence is this to me that the mother of what? Everybody in this room needs to be shouting. There's some things you don't recognize until the Holy Ghost comes on you. But when the Holy Ghost comes on you, see, the Holy Ghost not only gives you a word to say, it gives you some discernment. Some people are specially gifted in discernment, but I think every Christian ought to have a modicum of discernment. Because they've got to be able to recognize, first of all, the presence of God, and then tell somebody what that really means. Oh, okay, he showed up, so what? When she says this, though, she says, notice one thing, folk. Mary has not said anything except the normal salutation. Mary ain't told her one thing that has happened to her. Now, she may have seen, because John is only 6 months, but Mary probably is not even showing. So she didn't see this with her eyes. You know, because if you saw the little baby bump, you might say, you know, you're pregnant and you're blessed with it. But she says, you are blessed among all women because you're carrying my Lord. We won't get out if we don't. Wait a minute. Blessed is your womb because you're carrying my Lord. Wherever God is, wherever Jesus is, it's a blessed place. And whomever God resides in is a blessed person. That's why you can't walk around with your head hung down. You're too blessed for that. God is in you. Disciples, you're blessed. There's an indication that there is something special about Mary. We saw that last week. It is, but it's not deity. Elizabeth is getting an assignment. Her assignment is different. Her assignment is to now raise a child who would be the forerunner to the Messiah. Mary's assignment is to raise a child that's already been raised. Different assignments, same anointing. You don't deify Elizabeth, you can't deify Mary. But you can't put them in no low state either way. She'll assume that position for herself. But Elizabeth recognizes right away, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you recognize folk that have been filled with the Spirit. That's called spiritual discernment. Right. You know when you're in the presence of the Lord, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost. So the issue is, are you filled? All right. See, to be able to recognize these things. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, people can't run shams on you. There's nothing that Mary can tell Elizabeth that Elizabeth said, wait a minute, hey, you know, I know this ain't no sham. This is the truth. Because this is the word. Notice she heard. She heard. She heard. She heard. Next verse. 44 said what? As soon as I heard the salutation, as soon, you know what? That's what the word is. It's as soon as I heard the word, the baby leapt. As soon as I received the word, I know the baby was kicking and jumping because I had faith. Very key here. I had the faith to believe that what I'm carrying is something special. And the special here is joy. Because you know what? You can't leap for joy if you don't have joy. I'm the only one. I'm going. Did anybody bring tacos? Let me go home and get some. Because here it says, for soon as I heard the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ear, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed. And blessed is she that believed. In other words, Mary is blessed because she believed. It's a blessing to believe, folk. And so if you're running around thinking that you aren't blessed, it may be because you don't believe. Because the word says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is a blesser of those who diligently believe. And he that believe must believe that God is. And so here this prophet, this lady who hadn't been saying anything, you know, fighting pregnancy and rheumatism probably. You see what I'm saying? Because she's older. Yeah, your body is not that flexible to be carrying no baby. That's how they set it up. Hey, don't fight me. Fight the biologist. You know, I mean, get Doc Willis back there. I don't know. Hey, I'm just saying what I've been taught. It says that, and blessed is she that is believed, for there shall be a what? See, y'all didn't believe me. This woman was a prophet. She's saying, whatever message God has already told you, you can believe he can perform it. Whatever God has told you, it will come to bear. So it's like she's got some insight. I told you, once you get the Holy Spirit, you have this spiritual discernment. That's why I don't understand why you folk run off and get up behind these guys who are not teaching a gospel. You know, they got gospel light. They got a new gospel. They got a new way, that sort of thing. Spiritual discernment should tell you, wait a minute, that ain't the word. That ain't of Jesus. Any word that is not of Jesus is not of God. I mean, any word that is not of the Bible is not of Jesus, is not of God. We know that. I got scripture on my side. If you mess with me, I'll go there. Yeah, the whole Johannine scripture. First chapter, first verse. Okay, now, and blessed is she. I'm going to go see that. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. It's like she knew that the messenger came. Because Mary ain't told her that yet. And Mary said, folk, let me tell you something. You can't hear the word and not want to magnify the Lord. Mary just got a sermon. Wait a minute. She just had a session. Now she comes into another session with another disciple who's been filled with the Holy Ghost, someone who can preach a word, and she preached a word. She said, whatever the Lord has told you, you can guarantee it's going to come true. Whatever has been put in your ear, you can guarantee it. Because what Elizabeth was saying, that I recognize you feel with the Holy Ghost too. There's something different about you, Mary. I've seen your little girl running around here, and you've had an encounter with the Savior. And those who have had a genuine encounter with the Savior, the presence of the Savior always issues forth into worship. That's why Liz insisted we have to have prayer and praise. We have to teach it, because all the time, you may not remember the Bible verses, but you may remember always, oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. You may forget the verse, but you'll remember that little song. Or you may forget that song, but you'll remember, I want to be a follower of Christ. You may forget that even. But the issue is, you ain't gonna forget them all. You ain't gonna forget the songs and the word. And if you sing the songs long enough, it'll issue forth into a word that you receive. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Do you know what happens when your soul magnifies the Lord? Would somebody please just tell me? Tell me what they're saying, but I caution you. You're going to have to give further explanation. My soul doth magnify the Lord. We are what? We're tripartite, right? What are we? Body. I heard Sister Thompson. Soul and spirit. Okay. Well, the testing is over with. We're body, soul, and spirit. But here, Mary says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. See, what happens is, and what do we know about the soul? It is the what? The seed of what? The seat, rather, of emotions, attitudes, disposition, all of that, feeling, attitude. See, the soul. In other words, it represents the essence of who you are. It is the inner tube of every man or woman. Y'all, basic doctor knows. You know, they know. The inner tube, you know, when God made man, you know, he out of the dust of the ground. But at that same dusting of the ground, he put something inside a man, but that was just there. That made him Amaton. He had world consciousness. But see, world consciousness and self-consciousness won't get you anywhere. You got to have conscious God consciousness. So he breathed into him. In other words, he blew the inner tube up and man became a living soul. Y'all don't hear me. So she's saying, my soul, everything about me, Harry, magnifies the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Y'all ain't with me yet, because I ain't seen nobody grab the chandelier. My soul, everything about me doth magnify the Lord. I'm not who I used to be. You know, I used to have maybe some divided focus, but now my soul, my whole life, my whole essence, my whole being is focused on it. In order to magnify, what do, Amber? You got to magnify, right? I mean, you got to focus. You got to have intense scrutiny. You got to get right down to it to make it large. In other words, your focus as a blood-bought, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost saint, your focus shouldn't be about how somebody's treating you in the choir, or how somebody's treating you on the deacon ministry, or how somebody's treating you in ushering, or the parking lot, how somebody treating you even in your home or household. Your focus should be on God. Blow up God and everything else diminishes. Mary says, I'm totally sold out. I'm totally focused. I ain't focused on my plight. I ain't focused on the fact that I'm pregnant and I'm not married to anybody. I'm pregnant and y'all don't know who the daddy is. I'm not focused on that. My soul is focused on God himself. But look at the next verse. Am I what?
Spirit.
My soul focus is on God and magnify him. And my spirit rejoice in God my Savior. Because God always can rejoice in himself. God ain't like us. We got to be with somebody. God will always rejoice in himself. Because you're going to see why in a few minutes, because of his characteristics. God, because God is in me, I can rejoice in God my Savior, because we are one in spirit. Because just like he blew it on the plane, he now has come back down now and indwelt me. Before, he just blew into me. But now he has indwelt me, and that's why I got joy. That's why I can magnify the Lord. That's why I can tell the world about Jesus Christ. Because I've been endowed with the power, the dynamite, the dunamis to do it. Verse 48 says,
for he
now she turns to be a prophet. She says, I'm lowly. I'm totally submitted to God. You know what? I'm a nobody when it comes to, if God's going to pick anybody in the universe, you wouldn't expect him to pick me. And you know what, the folk? You, look at me. You back there. Look right into my eye. You, God has chosen you to express his word through your personality. That makes you somebody. You. That's why Paul said we have this cargo, this hidden treasure, this the essence of heaven itself, we carry it around in us. Y'all gotta hear this. Because that's what discipleship is all about. It's about taking what God has given you and giving it away. He says, right there, says, you didn't think about old Deacon Reese dying at Resurrection. You didn't think about Vanessa. You know, you sure didn't think about Newsom. You didn't think about Bonds. You know, you didn't think about Thompson. Or Phyllis. Mary said, you thought about me. You entrusted me. Yes, you're right, Miss Elizabeth. You are. You're right. You are a forth teller. You are a gospel declarer. Because you have declared accurately what God has done for me. I wasn't nobody. But you know what? Later on, I just got to believe that a brother named Paul is going to write, and he's going to tell me that I was right. See, because Gabriel, a messenger, you know, that stigma's always going to be holy. Yeah, she heard from heaven an angel. But maybe they'll believe Paul when he says, let this mind be in you. that was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, Jesus didn't come down here with no reputation. He didn't come down here no Dr. Jesus, Mr. Jesus. He came down here as Jesus Christos. Servant. Servant. Because he cared so much for you. Didn't think about it. Born in Nazareth. Brown says in the backside of a barn in Bethlehem, he was born. He ain't got nothing going for him. Who's going to follow him? Fast forward 2,000 years. Disciples, that's who's going to follow him. Because he made them. He makes them. They're not born. Now, it says now, for he that is mighty hath done to me. And what? Let me tell you, God is so holy, his name is holy. Y'all don't hear me. It says, holy is his name. I'm nobody. I'm just a sinner. Saved by grace. That's all Mary is saying here. But God, who's holy, has done great things for me. Because God is the God that can do great things. Y'all didn't hear me. Y'all should have been in the men's ministry Wednesday night. Every one of you, man and woman, should have been there. Because Brother Gerard brought to us a message out of Isaiah chapter 40. And he was talking about God's economy. And then he, you know, asked for questions and stuff. And the brothers were so eloquent, you know, adding to what, you know, he had, you know, just a few scriptures. But when you look at that whole thing, it's talking about who God is and versus what everything else is. And in that verse, you know, for you folk, you know, the grass wither, the flower fades, but the word of God shall stand forever. He says, yeah, you know, the young folk, you know, they'll faint, you know, the old, they tired. He said, but those that wait on the Lord shall what? They're going to renew their strength. In other words, the only thing that will stand is the word. But that should blow you away. You know why? Because he says the grass withers and men wither. The grass fades, men will fade. But the only thing that will stand is the word. If you run back up in chapter 40, you'll see he says, under my breath, the grass withers and the flower fades. In other words, the word of God is the only thing that will stand under his breath. When God speaks, everything else changes. Y'all don't hear me. Wait a minute. Did you hear what I just said? And he takes that word and puts it inside of you so that when you speak, lives will be changed. We're talking about discipleship here. Rob, we're going to talk about discipleship today. We're going to do this whole unit because I see now how so important it is. Mary had a little lamb. But guess what? That lamb wants to grow up and be a shepherd. So that you and I will follow. That was the purpose of that little lamb. And his mercy, go right on. By the way, it says he's holy. And his what? Mercy is on them that fear. In other words, those that respect God, his mercy will be there from generation to generation. She's saying, you know, she's looking back. My people have been blessed. She's looking at now. My people have been blessed. She's looking forward. My people will be blessed. All generations are blessed by the mercy of God. In other words, mercy is something you don't get. You deserved it, but you don't get it. In other words, she's saying that even though my folk haven't done everything that they were supposed to do, God kept his word. He says there would be a king on the throne. Oh, she's giving you some eschatology. Oh, she's running it out. She's been schooled by the best. You know, when you've been taught by the best doctrinal teachers in the world, you got this stuff. You know, you don't worry about it, you know. Generation to generation. She's including everybody, and I'll show you how the connection here in a sec. He hath what? Showed strength. He hath what? In other words, all those folk who were looking for the Messiah Ford to come through some Leonard great, you know, all the priests, the royal house of, you know, this. No. Everybody, and what she's doing, she's giving you a projection of what is about to happen. All those people that are big, you know, cahoots now, they're the big kahunas now, and they got everything going for them now. Guess what? They will be bought low. All those that are proud and built up now, they'll be bought down. Everything that was solid and everybody went back, you know, they pledge allegiance to, it'll be bought down. Oh, y'all better read your newspapers and watch your news. y'all, this is 2019. All you got to do is go do the Hebrew numbers, and you'll find out that this is the year of the snakes come out, 2019. But I digress. No, don't. All right. And his, he hath, I still want to do and. He hath what? And hath scattered the proud in the imaginations of their heart. He hath what?
Put down the mighty from their seats.
And exalted
them of low degree.
He hath. He hath what?
Opened
his
servant Israel in remembrance.
Can somebody tell me what that verse right there means? I had to stop because we got to go. But what, that hoping? That damn, is that a word? Whoo! Well, that's a heavy word there. It means help. In other words, he has helped his servant Israel. His servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy every time, but he's also helped us. That's for me and you. You know why? Every time you think about how good God has been to you, when you were out there, didn't care nothing about God. I remember a time. Didn't care nothing about God. Didn't care nothing. He could have wiped you out while you out there being foolish. While you out there talking about I'm looking for myself. Don't look for yourself. Look to God, you'll find yourself. But God didn't kill us. God took care of us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. When we didn't care about nothing about him or anything else. And when he says, now he helps us remember how merciful he's been. Every time you look in the mirror, you ought to say, boy, God is a God of mercy. Ooh, let me tell you one thing. I could have been this, I could have been that. And you know what? He said, don't look at the mirror. Look around you. Folk, y'all, you know what? I see y'all. I come to church with y'all every Sunday. I know y'all. But you know what? Y'all look good. I mean, you know, you guys are looking well and doing well, and you're on your way to heaven. But there's a whole bunch of folk that ain't looking well, ain't doing well, and they still going to hell. So that makes you blessed. You ain't no better than them. You came from the same stock. Some of you got family members. They came up under the same conditions you came under. And they still talking about, oh, woe is me. No! God says you don't focus on those things. You focus on how good he has been. And when you think about how good God is in, you know what you do? Wait a minute. Y'all didn't get it. Every time you think about God, every time you read a word in scripture, you realize how good God is. Ah, let me go. So y'all can go. And he spake to to our fathers. What?
To Abraham and to his seed
forever. See, this girl is quoting eschatology now. She's looking back and looking forward. She said she got it. She's schooled. That's what disciples do. You got to be able to recognize that stuff wherever you are. You got to know. And the reason why Abraham is important there, Terry, is that remember we did a whole unit this last two quarters about God's promises to Abraham? She's saying, now don't get it twisted. My being here is just a canonical connection of Abraham to the seed, Jesus the Christ. The same thing that God promised Abraham right back there, God is still fulfilling that promise. That's what she's telling y'all. You know why? You know why she can speak so boldly? She's a disciple. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And a holy thing. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Notice that she abode 3 months. Did y'all just wrap that up and say it's time to go? Well, I got about 30 minutes more of exhortation on that verse alone. But I'll give it to you in a few seconds. God, in his infinite wisdom, knows every danger that's out there. And he knows, as you're out there witnessing for him, Rob, that he's got to provide a safe place for you. See, we're trying to put safe places in schools. We need to have safe places in life, period. This should be a safe place. This is the place that God dwells and inhabits. So it's a safe place. Don't you worry about the dangers that are out there, because God has got you in a safe place. And he ain't gonna let you move as long as there's danger. See, that's danger. First 3 months, this girl, she, you know, ain't showing. She needs some time. Listen, first of all, you don't even look pregnant. You crazy. Put this girl her 30 lashes and. But now she comes back with the blessed womb and the baby bump in about 3 months. Now she can add to her testimony and they'll know she's not test a lying. You say, oh, God's got this thing worked out. She abode in a safe place. God kept her in a safe place amongst friends, amongst fellow disciples. And that's what we do when we talk about in-house evangelism. Because you imagine in that 3 months, they began to share, you know, meteorology, Christology, you know, theology, anthropology. They talked about all that stuff. Because the days ahead, you think it was tough. Going to be in tough. But in that immediate place of danger, God will remove you from the danger and give you a safe place. These last verses here that we're talking beginning about, what, 46? Is a song. She's singing. See, because God will put a song in a disciple's heart. Years ago, great preacher declared when they had the black Muslim movement, he declared from his pulpit that it would never go anywhere. And they asked him why. He says they have no hymnody. In other words, they don't have a song. No army can march without a song. Hop, tell, three, ha, two, three. Oh, y'all on the ready line. Yeah, come on now. Hey. Y'all go home. Merry Christmas.